My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Jesus Christ, truly present with us in the Blessed Sacrament, though I have been more or less hearing confessions, I could tell that the predominant theme is this phrase of Jesus that actually condenses the entire gospel, the entire gospel message, in a certain sense, the entire Bible. Love as I have loved. Very simple, but extremely profound. And I'll go so far to say a command that is impossible. Then why did he issue the command if it's impossible? Because we could approach it. Maybe my standards are too low, but my gut tells me that all the admonitions of Jesus, all the teachings, to live by them totally in this life is impossible. But we can get closer to doing it. I mean, we could approach it, because only Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man. But nevertheless, we are called to be like him. St. Paul's mantra is put on Jesus Christ. Put him on. And how do we put you on, Lord? Well, we'd have to reinvent the wheel. We're putting him on right now. Some are in deep, pious dazes, but you're here. He knows it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is exhausted. And we're putting him on through prayer. And what does prayer do? Prayer empowers us to live this new commandment, traditionally called the Mandatum Novum. St. Jose Maria, that's Latin, St. Jose Maria embraced that commandment, every saint does, and all the Opus Dei centers devoted to young people's formation. He had that verse in Latin framed. The new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. In that way, they will know that you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. And in this time of new evangelization, this new commandment is urgent. Also for very practical reasons. And Catholic culture, for the most part, has disappeared. What do I mean by that? Knowledge of the sacraments, knowledge of morality, knowledge of the rudiments of the creed, behavior, moral opinions, moral positions. We're dominated by moral relativism. And the only way we could teach the doctrine of the gospel is, first, we need to give an experience of the joy and the peace and the love of Jesus imperfectly. But on the other hand, the Lord does not issue a commandment that is impossible to live. Impossible to get it totally right? Yes. Impossible to live? No, because that would be a contradiction in God's teaching through Jesus Christ's humanity. We'll get to a little bit more detail, but I would say this new commandment is shaped like a cross. In what sense? We would be doing each other a disservice. You know, we're reading examinations of conscience, and if we didn't go vertically first, it's shaped like a cross. You've got a vertical a component and a horizontal component to the cross, but the vertical has to come first. I don't mean to insult intelligences, but you can't have a cross without the vertical first. You can't hang the horizontal on nothing. You have to hang the horizontal on the vertical pole. And what is that horizontal? Well, the traditional definition of prayer in the catechism is to raise your mind and heart to God. The vertical love we have, the vertical charity, is my prayer life. And only the horizontal follows the prayer life. So to say, okay, love one another as I have loved you, don't even try. I mean, please don't get me wrong here, but don't even try unless we take Paul's teaching to heart, put on Jesus Christ. We could translate that in our own lingo of the spirit of Opus Dei, the plan of life in Christ, the plan of life, the meditation, the Eucharist, the rosary. That's where I put on Jesus Christ. Because it's, notice the new commandment. It's not, you know, just love one and love neighbor as self. That's the Mosaic law. That's hard enough. That's the Mosaic law. Love as I have loved. That's another level. That's another level of love. And then the horizontal dimension is loving others out of love for Christ. St. Jose Maria says in the Forge that it's not enough to love someone for his or her own sake. He said it's not good enough. You got to love that person out of love for Christ. And what it comes across as a soundbite, but there's a lot of theology there, because only out of love for Christ do I have the incentive to turn the other cheek. Only out of love for Christ can I forgive unconditionally. Only out of love for Christ can I love someone who I'm not attracted to, or may bother me, or may injure me, verbally or even physically. Only out of love for Christ can I do this. To live that examination of conscience, which I think is pretty demanding, we have to do it for Christ. Because nothing on earth, even the human person, even the best person, cannot give us the satisfaction and the fulfillment only God could give us through Christ. There's a lot of turmoil out there. I guess that's my job to hear about it. People are anxious. People, you know, I'm not giving you a hint, but people don't usually call me to say, listen, just want to tell you that, you know, I'm just having a great day. And I just want to share that with you. Can you give thanks to God with me? That's in the afterlife, I think. I should not expect that now. That won't happen, nor do I expect it to happen, and I'm not there to just get good news. But people are nervous about, well, the situation of the country, the situation of even their own family, their circle of friends, the situation even in the church. People are anxious, and different forces. Negative forces are getting people anxious and even down. And good, very good people. How is the kingdom of God going to grow with all this mass confusion? And people bring to my attention, you know, wow, the nasty pandemic has really given the church a big hit, because now we're all, many are used to not going to Mass on Sunday anymore. At least there was a kind of a little conscience issue that pushed people to go to Mass on Sunday, but that's gone. And so people are kind of in consternation over all these things. And we want to get at the root of the solution, which is me. I'm the solution. What's the solution? Read the first paragraph of St. Jose Maria Escrivá's homily toward holiness. And he says, the only solution I can give you is personal holiness. That's the solution. And he says it works. And that's what I can do that. And if I really live that charity of Christ, but it's always based on my piety, because what does piety do? Piety is a refueling in the life of Christ, because St. Paul says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured into your heart. It's almost like a fuel. It's almost like, you know, refueling a car. The love of God, you know, the contents of the heart of Christ is poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when I do the plan of life. For whatever it's worth, a young person, I don't know, kind of identified me or wanted to talk to a priest, and basically was an atheist. You know, what was it, a rabid one? He was not even Christian. And he said he doesn't care for religion. He has no interest in religion, he told me. And I said, well, great. You know, let's be friends anyway. But, you know, tactfully as I could, I said, well, why do you want to see me if you have no interest in religion? You know, I dress the part here. I figured you'd come for that reason. He said, I don't know, can we just have discussions? I go, yeah, sure. He said, you have 15 minutes, but sure. Or a half hour. And he said, well, I'm so curious about some of my friends. I have a few friends who were not Christian either, and now they've become Christian. And I'm just curious about them. And, you know, because they're different, you know, I like what they have, he said. He said, they have virtues, and I know that is a good thing, he said. And, I don't know, can we discuss those virtues? So, he said, for example, you know, a few of his friends, now with a couple of Christians, they party different. In what sense? How do you party different? Well, they don't get drunk. Right? And they have a good time. But, you know, they've become more moderate in, you know, drink. They also are more gentlemanly towards women. So I'm noticing that. They control themselves. And he said, and also they have a little bit of a spark in their walk, he said. And they're kind of upbeat. They're happier than they were before. And he says, I think it's these kind of the self-control, he said. I said, yeah. Do you have, you know, and I said, then he, again, he said, you didn't want to talk about religion. I said, okay, we won't. Yeah. Any reading material I could give him? I said, well, yeah, read Aristotle. His ethics talk about virtue, and, you know, he wasn't Christian. He's, you know, centuries before Christ. And they want to read a little bit of Plato too. You know, he's talking about virtue, and, you know. And then he wanted to know. He said, "Well, only." He comes back again. He said, "Well, let's talk about this war. You know, this is not new. This is not really Christian. These virtues, you know, he's kind of an academic type kid." He said, yeah, Aristotle has these virtues, but I don't know. I'm kind of confused. I'm super confused. He says the only people who live these virtues is, you know, these few friends of mine. They're the ones who live these virtues. And I said, listen, I said, I give up. I said, I got to be really honest with you. This is intimately linked with Christianity. You got to be honest too. You know that. I mean, you're always talking about these Christians, these former non-Christians who have become Christians, and you want to talk about what's going on. I said, I got to be very honest with you. Christ is part of this. No. I'm not. That doesn't ring my bell. I'm not interested. So I and just gave him a. I said, "Well, just read it. Have an open mind here. Read, Saint Therese. Just read it." Fine. Didn't ring his bell. Kind of too girlish for him. So I said, "Well, just COVID breaks out now. School's out. He's going to go home. He's going to go almost 1,000 miles away from me." I said to him, "I said, just ask, you know, listen, you know, ask for faith." I said, "I got to be honest with you. These virtues are intimately linked with Christ." And he can you do that? I said, "Well, if I don't believe in anything, how do I do that?" I said, "Do it anyway. Even if I don't believe, yeah." "You're kidding." I go, "No, do it. Just do it." "Okay, I'll do it." Anyway, fast forward a little bit. All right. This guy on Pentecost entered into the church. What happened? The new commandment. It wasn't a slam dunk. It didn't happen overnight. He had to work at it. He had to think about it. He had to ask for faith, even though he didn't believe in anything. And he was touched by the experience of Christ from his circle of friends. And thank God, they actually reflected in a perfect way, like all of us, but in a real way, love as I have loved you. Maybe another way to look at this new commandment is, you know, the traditional, and I've been enlightened, maybe I think a couple of years ago I got enlightened, you know, take it for what it's worth. Obviously a practicing Catholic goes to Mass on Sunday, the practicing Catholic says prayers, the practicing Catholic embraces the teachings of the church, the practicing Catholic understands what an objectively good moral life is. A practicing Catholic goes to confession, especially if he or she needs to go get back into the state of grace. But by accident, I've shared this before, but I want to delve into it just a bit. Practicing Catholic, and someone was, you know, complaining, this is kind of a negative story, you know, that friend he had, or even maybe a family member, you know, not a very, he says, you know, at times he is not a very nice person. You know, kind of browsing a little bit. And, you know, next sentence was, and he's a practicing Catholic. So almost challenging, you know, the Catholic faith. And by accident, I said, "Well, he's not a practicing Catholic." And the guy got impatient with me. So I just told you he was. He goes to Mass, he says his prayers, and he's, you know, he believes everything the church teaches. I said, I misunderstood. Or no, I said that by accident. And I said, I take it back. I didn't say it by accident. I thought I said it by accident, but now I realize that what I said was not an accident. And let's pray about it. Am I a practicing, you know, without complicating our lives and getting on a guilt trip that we shouldn't be on, is really a practicing Catholic someone who goes to Mass, says the rosary, I mean, is it hypothetical, knows his stuff, but has ignored or hasn't taken it seriously, hasn't lost too much sleep over it, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you? That's not really an issue. Maybe it's not, you know, at times, okay, what's more glaring, even in our, it's good that we, you know, listen, I need to be more chaste, I need to be more recollected on the street, all these kinds of things, especially in this hot weather. But it's easy, but we don't want to. It's easy to gloss over the most important statement Jesus made. I mean, the game changer of the work of evangelization, now we're talking about the new evangelization, to actually love with his heart. I go work at it. I have this nourishment I get from Jesus in the Eucharist. That's the key diet, the key food, the food of love, this energy love in terms of self-giving love. I draw from the Eucharist by coming before the Eucharist and receiving the Eucharist. But as everything, I mean, yes, nourishment's important, but I got to get it. I got to work. I got to practice whatever it is, tennis, volleyball, basketball, track, to put that nourishment into stamina, to put it into competition. Nourishment in itself, no matter how good that nourishment is, I'm not going to be able to compete in the track race unless I use that nourishment to work out. And what's my workout? Pushing myself to give everyone that experience of Christ. We'll fall short. That's okay. But I need to work at it. As we wind this prayer down, we read this point in Forge from St. Jose Maria. Live your Christian life with naturalness. Let me stress this. Make Christ known through your behavior. Just as an ordinary mirror reproduces an image without distorting it or turning it into a caricature. If, like the mirror, you are normal, you will reflect Christ's life and show it to others. That's what I want to do. Whether, you know, it's a quick payment of something, whether, you know, I'm greeting someone in a waiting room, whether it's a family member, I'm always trying to sell the gospel. I'm always on to live this new commandment, but it's predicated on my life of piety. So I turn my attention to the perfect models of all this. Happen to be a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad, and that's the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. Our Mary, please pray for us so that we take to heart, that we chip away at this vision your Son had for us, the new commandment, which is basically the heart of the new evangelization. And Saint Joseph, master of the interior life, as Saint Teresa of Avila says, pray for us as well. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.